From the Sleepy Beavers at Swamp Hill Studios, located in beautiful Turtle River, Minnesota,
just east of the swamp,
and up the hill a bit, it's the Rito Roundup!
Hello, oh, hello everybody, please hold your applause, we got a big show in front of us, oh, thank you, hey, how are y'all doing? This is the Rito Roundup, it is Thursday, April 11, 2024, how you doing, Rob?
I'm doing good, Rito, how about you?
You know, not too bad. It's fun to... today wasn't the warmest day this week, but it's still into the 50s. So this has been kind of nice. It's been gorgeous. Oh, yesterday was a beautiful day. Most of today was good when the sun was shining.
I think yesterday was the hottest day of the year so far.
Did it get up to 70 in these parts?
No. I think
like 66 or something.
Something like that. I would say like 65. But yeah.
But yeah, it's been nice.
Even in the shadows, I couldn't find any snow. My dad sending me a text was like, "There's still snow on the ground out there?" And I'm like, "I bet I could find some if I looked hard enough." And I looked, and we did see some today in a parking lot, where the snow plow pushes up.
Yes, right. Yeah, where it's been set. So yeah, yesterday I was out at my land. Took a sauna and it was raining. It was great to step out of the sauna into the cold rain like that. Oh, it's great. But I have one spot I have a clearing in the southern part of the clearing right up against the trees so it's shade all day long. I had about a dinner plate size of snow. I wonder, the rain that we got probably chewed it up. But so yesterday I did have some snow. But gorgeous. I haven't been out on the water yet, but Bemidji is pretty much open. There's a little bit of flak getting pushed around. Swans all over the place, geese all over the place. That's kind of fun. I haven't seen a robin yet. Probably my fault. I'm not looking.
They were circling the last episode.
They were. Well, they were. Yeah. I haven't consciously seen a robin yet this spring. They must be around. Ground seems to be thawing. That's good stuff.
We had some big excitement out here at the swamp.
Yes, you did. Yes, you
did. Since our last episode,
what was that about?
There was a wildfire that mm-hmm. broke out, and I was in my house in the late morning, and I hear a knock at my door, which is unusual. and I look out, and there's this man. I can't even describe how large he was. He was, you hear people described as a refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
He was like a refrigerator. He must have been about 6'7".
Okay.
And like 350 pounds. And his shoulders were like 3-4 feet.
And you didn't give no lip to Big John.
No, he knocked on the door, shook the whole house. And he was like a deputy.
Okay. Sheriff deputy?
Sheriff deputy.
Yeah.
And, but he wasn't wearing a uniform, was in an unmarked car.
Okay.
And he was just going around saying, "There is a fire and it's blowing this way. And he's told me to gather up your stuff, get everything ready, load
Make
up your
peace
car.
Peace with your God.
Yep. And, get ready to roll." And I was just like, "Wah."
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, and he just kind of, cause I didn't smell anything. The wind must not have been exactly my way. But over the course of that day, you just kind of run through your head of all the things that are important to take and
you know,
getting the pet carriers and, you know, getting ready to throw the kitties in the car.
Pet rock.
And it's like, all I need is this
this cell phone,
this paddle ball and this ashtray. And then I heard helicopters. I took my dirt bike and went out into the woods there, and I saw the helicopter, and it was grabbing barrels of, I don't know what you call it. It's like a parachute. It's like a canvas funnel kind of thing.
Like a big burlap sack almost that you just fill up.
And they was collecting water right next to this beaver lars that's out there in Sunny Lake, which if you go back in a previous episode, we talk all about how Sunny got its name.
Yep.
And then the fire was so close that the helicopter picked up the water and was gone for no more than 2 minutes
and then was back
for another load. Yeah. And I'm going, "Oh man, if it only took them."
Right over, right out of view.
So I went back to the house because I just wanted to get an update on what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then I went back a couple hours later, and I ran into a fire crew, and they were chasing the fire and they had just put it out.
Okay. Wow.
And And that was just before the big snowstorm that we got.
Right. That's right.
And it was like,
yes,
like just hold before. On. Yeah, for another 2 days, we're going to get dumped on. Uh-huh. And we did. And but now we're back at it again. The snow has since melted.
Yeah.
We're almost as dry. We had a little rain today.
Yeah. And we just didn't get a lot of the rest of the state got a lot of rain and it just didn't really hit Beltrami County. Yeah. And I think Beltrami County, Clearwater County, and maybe Kuching. There's three of us that are still in severe drought. I think hopefully we'll get some more rain, but it just doesn't seem to get to us, you know? And I just want to say to everybody that day, Rob and I were texting back and forth and I was kind of razzing Rob and cracking wise. And then at one point Rob says, I don't think you understand how stressed I am. And I was like, oh dear. No, I did not. And nor did I really appreciate just how close the fire was. Wow. I would have been, pulling my hair out. Just wait. Cause you're just waiting, right? Nothing to do but wait and look around and try and prepare. And,
It wasn't that warm. That night it got down to 7 degrees. Okay. And I was ready to, fight if I had to. Mm-hmm. I dragged all the hoses out of the shed that hadn't been used since last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And the hydrant hadn't been turned on yet. And I opened up everything and got water flowing. And I got the hose out there and I was going to fight it with my 15 PSI or whatever out of my pump. And then I left the hose connected to the pump while I went to do other stuff and forgot about it. And everything froze solid.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, the hydrant froze solid. Uh-huh. I didn't, even if I got the hose off of it.
Uh-huh.
And the hose was just solid ice.
Uh-huh.
And then the hydrant wasn't working anymore. And I was like, I'm worse off. Now I don't have any water outside at all. I'm worse off than I was.
When we started.
But check this out. Speaking of sleeping beavers, a couple days ago, I was driving home and I decided to take a different road. And I was coming up the back way and I was on a dirt road. And I see ahead on the road a decent sized black bear. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I get closer, I realized, oh, there's another little one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a cub. And I was like, and then the cub was trying to get across the road and the mama was kind of watching it.
Uh-huh.
And so I drove up to where I saw them. They had gone into the woods. And not only was there one, there was three cubs.
Wow.
And they were all just running and jumping around and climbing up on trees. And she's just watching me.
Right.
And I'm taking pictures from my car. I was like, there's no way I'm getting out of my car.
Right, right.
But I was like trying to get a zoom in and it was all kind of brambly. So I didn't get a good shot. But they were sure fun watching.
I bet.
Well, everything's coming back to life. It's nice to see spring.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll be out hunting, but not finding morels in no time.
Exactly.
Well, and that's our whole podcast is the beaver. We're just doing beaver updates now.
Well,
80% of our people cut off after the beaver update anyway, studies have shown. We can start doing this and getting sponsored by, local bait shops and
well, I haven't seen services. the real beavers yet, but I'm expecting them.
I was admiring your work on some of your hardwood trees over there and some of your larger pines and stuff. Hopefully that'll...
I have to wrap them with metal fence.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're going to wake up hungry.
Yeah, hopefully that'll keep them off of those nice, mature hardwoods.
Oh, they've done such damage in the last couple of years. Now, they can take the popple. That grows back so fast, and they seem to like it, and it kind of makes way for...
Yeah, and that's part of the But when you see the oak that you have get taken down,
they started eating oak. That was so rare. I've never seen them attack an oak before for food, and they bit into a nice big, 25-inch diameter one.
Uh huh.
And I think I might go up there and I don't know what you put on a wounded tree. I feel like maybe some
kind of lacquer, right?
Turpentine or something to seal the pine pitch or.
Yeah. Cause they're susceptible to infection disease of some sort, molds or.
Well, that's just the time of the year it is.
Hey, so it's getting to be that time of the year, but do you know what time it is right now?
Right now?
Yeah. Right now.
Really?
Afraid so.
Let's do it.
Watch. Sons of bitches, haul me to jail.
So, carrot or stick this time?
I think it's mostly carrot. I think it's mostly attaboy with a little bit of reservation, I guess. Grossel and Steve Green are, Steve Green is the senator that represents Bemidji and the three tribes around us, and Bagley and Walker. And so,
Senate District 2.
Senate District 2. Grossel's 2A. And so he represents a big chunk of Beltrami County. Matt Bliss, 2B, represents the rest of Beltrami County and other territories or other counties. So Grossel is authoring a bill that would be like basically requesting money in the bonding. The government functions in, the state government functions in a biennium, a 2-year cycle. Year one, which is usually a odd numbered year, is a tax year. And then the even numbered year, they call it a policy and bonding year. So we're in a bonding year right now. And
what do those mean? What's a tax year mean?
A tax year is when they put a tax bill together that sets tax rates on primarily income tax. They set the rates, you know, so then we know, well, when we have a rough idea what the income is going to be. And then in bonding years is when we take out bonds, which is basically government sells bonds. It's kind of like taking out a loan, but rather than going to a specific bank, you're throwing them out there for Wall Street to purchase. And then people invest in that knowing that there's a known rate of return and that it's a safe investment. So every year, every other year, the state takes out bonds. It can be different, but usually it's every other year. This year, this is a long explanation. So this year, Grossel is asking for $10 million and Steve Green, $10 million for Northern Township to create their own sewer and water district, or at least their own sewer district.
And Northern Township is on Lake Bemidji. It's just adjacent
to
it's
the northern part of the lake. It abuts, it borders with the city of Bemidji on both sides of the lake.
So it includes like Rutgers and the golf course?
The golf course and
state park.
The state park. And then it comes around.
So the northeast.
The northeast and northwest and north parts of the lake. It used to come all the way down to Ann Street, but through an annexation process, like Northern Liquor is called Northern Liquor because it was in Northern Township. Now it's in the city of Bemidji, but it's still called Northern Liquor because it's still privately owned. It's a rare exception where you have a privately owned liquor store in a municipality that's under 15,000 people. Because most municipalities in Minnesota under 15,000 people have a monopoly in liquor sales as a revenue source. An agreement made with the state of Minnesota back a long time ago. Getting off track there a little bit, but interesting history. The city, we've talked about this in the past, the city and the township were trying to figure out how to put water and sewer around the lake. So city services around the lake.
So now people sewer is just individual drain fields and septic
now
tanks.
On the Gold
if
Coast.
If we're lucky.
Yeah, the Gold Coast, which is the very beginning of County Road 20 heading east.
Next to the golf course.
Next to the golf course, but where it comes off of Old 71 or Bemidji Avenue, just north of, north of Rutgers. That whole lane there, all that is septic. All that is private septic. And the community, the local governments have been trying to figure out how to get water all the way around the lake for quite a while. One of the sticking points that has come up as the city and township have talked about it. So the city of Bemidji Northern Township is that those people, especially the people that live on the Gold Coast, they do not want to join, the city, because if the city is going to bring in infrastructure, they're going to want to tax the people that get that infrastructure. So they need to come into the city. So the city's boundaries would expand to cover the entire lake, which I'll just say right now makes sense and will be the case at some point in the near future.
So they just don't want to pay Bemidji City taxes, they'd rather continue paying the northern township taxes.
Yes.
Which are less than the
That's
city.
That's the perception. But if you, and yes, it is less, but it's not less by a whole lot. It's not, I mean, our property taxes are, can be a lot, but there's, you're paying to the city or the township, you're paying to the school district, you're paying to the county. And I believe some of it goes to the state. Am I making that up? Everybody else is shouting at me because they know their statements better. I just can't remember. But mainly it's the municipality or township, the school district or the, and the county. So when you put those all together, that's your tax payment. People rant and rave. Like my dad was telling me this, that, I'm so tired of people ranting and raving about how high their property taxes are. And so I just started asking people, how much did they go up for you? Like, what's the dollar amount? How much do you pay right now in property taxes? And then people will get kind of indignant and be like, well, that's not the point. Like, well, do you know how much you pay right now? Well, I don't know how much I pay. So how important is it to you? How meaningful is it really, to your daily life, to your material well-being? That's not to, I don't want to sound unsympathetic to people that are pensioners that have, locked in incomes. And so when there is an increase, that is very meaningful to them. And there are some and should be more laws or policies in Minnesota to protect aging people, to allow them to age in their own home. It's way cheaper for society. And we do have those policies. And I think that you'll see more of those going forward. But for most people, I just don't think that the day-to-day, payment is that big of a deal. So those people do not want to become part of the city. And I just think that that's so unfortunate, because all of the amenities that the city offers, they're enjoying, and they live just over the line or whatever, and there's some of the wealthiest people in our community. A lot of them don't even live here, and they're summer homes. So who cares whether they want to be in the city or not? I get it for the people that are our real constituents that are here year round, and maybe they've lived there for 20 years or it was a dream of them to always be able to afford to live on the Gold Coast. And now they live there and there are people or whatever, but they are really some of the people that have been, most of them that are our neighbors, they have benefited most on what Bemidji has to offer, so to ask them to pay their fair share and come into the city, but they don't want to do that, and I don't know all the intricacies of why that didn't happen, but they very easily could have hooked up to the city services, gotten annexed into the city. So instead now the city, the township is creating a sewer district that then, and what they have asked the county is to be able to purchase or lease some property on the east side of the lake, kind of in between Lavinia and sort of New Bass Road. And they'll have their own treatment plant there. And the treatment plant will then lead to a leach field where it'll, like a septic system kind of, on a much grander scale. And then that water will then percolate through the soils into the groundwater and eventually into Lake Bemidji. And maybe it can be done really well. And I'm sure, they'll be doing soil testing to try to figure out the speed at which it's going to percolate.
It right. sounded like the plant included they're calling it a plant. Mm-hmm. And, but there was a filtration system. It's not like a septic tank you'd have in your house. This was like a filter, and it said they were even monitoring the water for nitrates and other
right.
contaminants yep. for the lake before it even gets to the drain
to the
field.
Soil. Right, right,
right, and then it goes through all the sand and clay and whatever.
If that's what it takes to get a sanitary sewer system around the north end of the lake, I guess that's what we got to support, and attaboy to Grossel for authoring that legislation to get some of the funding to make this happen. But when there is a state-of-the-art...
State-of-the-art in the 70s. I don't know.
Our treatment facility?
Yeah.
No. No, the treatment facility that the Bemidji has, I hate its placement. It's in the worst spot that it could be. It's like some of the most sacred land on the whole continent. And we put a Pomida and a wastewater treatment facility there. You know, one of the old, longest continually habitated chunks of real estate on Turtle Island. And we have a Pomida and a wastewater treatment facility. But that facility is top notch. It is top notch. The water that comes out of it is way cleaner than the water it is going into. It is clean. It is a good system.
So as the crow flies, maybe 6 miles away, they're going to build another $10 million facility.
Right. And why not just tie in to what we got? Now, I know that there are load issues with the current system, that it couldn't handle the volume of all of the development that's going on. They may need to expand their capacity someday. And so maybe we could, again, it's the partnership and getting it all the way around the lake to have these two systems not talk to each other, not to be joined to each other, I think is, and I'm not a hydrologist, you know, I'm not a sewerologist either. But it just seems to me like the township then is reinventing a wheel that we've already have and is working really fine.
Well, maybe someday everything will connect and that plant can be a redundancy if the Bemidji
they
can and share the
that,
load.
I think that hopefully that's the case, that at some point we can join them up. So whatever, go ahead and do it. If it's a little more expensive, and maybe it's not, maybe I'm totally wrong there, but I don't know how it could be less expensive to build a second plant.
I'm just imagining all the construction either way, just running the infrastructure to all the houses and cabins.
Right. Well, and that's why the township is trying to time that out with the county, because the county is going to be redoing County Road 20 from Bemidji Avenue to Bemidji State Park, where they, you know, because they've already in the last couple of years redid the road from there out to 27, to Parker Lake / Long Lake Road. So yeah, so this is the last leg of it. And I believe that part of that too is going to be a bike path that's going to be coming through there. So they're going to be ripping up all that. And that's a great time to put in that infrastructure.
So is it one of those cases where when they do this, and I guess it's a little too early to tell, that everybody has to join up, or can you continue to use your septic tank until you touch it?
And then
it needs an update.
Yeah, I think that the way that they're going to do it, because this is what they were talking about before, is that not everybody has to hook up, I think is what.
Right away.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're, for sure not right away. Hopefully they say that somewhere in there that then if you ever get an inspection and your system is non-compliant, now you have to hook up to the main system. I know a lot of the township supervisors and I think that they're good people. And I think they do a good job, but I want to make sure, because they don't just owe, you know, their attention to those 40 lots on the North Shore that I've been calling the Gold Coast this whole time. It's not just those properties, but they serve the entire township, you know, and they need to make sure that what they're doing is good for the entire township and not just good for some of the loudest members or the most influential or powerful members of their township, you know.
Well, and all those neighborhoods are right on the lake. It's a very sensitive area. So we tend to focus on those properties that are, or even like Rutgers you talked about before, where they've had issues with wastewater getting in directly into the lake, overflows and things like that. I mean, if we can address those issues.
No, that's a huge win. Yes. And I will say, I'll argue against myself here and say that from the township's position and the township supervisors, if they lose Rutgers and all those North Shore, the Gold Coast homes to the city, they're going to lose probably 50% of their revenue, 25% of their revenue. They'll also lose any of the roads associated. And normally a township is responsible for the roads in their town, the township roads. And that's really it.
plowing them, patching them, paving them.
Paving them if they need to, grading the gravel roads, bringing on more class five. But Northern Township is, I think it's around 4,000 people still, even after annexation from Bemidji. I grew up in a town of 5,900 people, and we were a fully incorporated municipality. And more Northern is acting like a municipality. And they probably at some point need to incorporate as they're doing all of these things. One of the problems with incorporating is that it gives you a lot of mandates from the state then that you have to fulfill as a municipality that you don't have to do as a township, like sewer and water, or maybe even curb and gutter, having your own police force. And if you don't have a police force, you have to start paying the sheriff department to police. Whereas now I believe townships don't pay the sheriff's department, you know, for the law enforcement services. Yeah. So long story short, if this gets sanitary sewer around the lake, and then hopefully in the next 20 to 50 years, every single parcel on Lake Bemidji now is hooked up to a central system, even if we have two. As Bemidji grows, then like we were saying earlier, then now you've got a substation. Right now it's a primary station for Northern Township, but eventually we'll have that infrastructure to be able to build off of. So I guess it's a good thing. Well done, Matt Grossel. Thanks for carrying this bill. But then now here's a little sticky wicket here. He's introducing this bill, or they just did, I think it was either the 2nd or the 4th. I think it was the 4th of April. And that is like a week past when bills needed to be approved to be read, in committee and have a hearing and look into. So I don't know if that can somehow get thrown into the horse trading that's going to happen at the end of the session to get the bonding bill passed. It could get in there somehow. No, there's a chance that this could get the funding this year. I wonder if it will, because it's coming so late and everybody probably has their budgets put together, and Grossel's in the minority. So he's in the minority. Nobody likes him, and he's coming after the 11th hour, you know? So
if his bill doesn't make it, and that money doesn't come, is the whole project, are they depending on this bill to do this?
Well, they're on a timeline because they want their work to coincide with the road renewal project at the county, because it's going to be way cheaper for them.
They can put
that infrastructure in when the county already has a road ripped up.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to have to come after the county rebuilds the road. They're going to have to come after the fact and dig.
So how would a township normally pay for something like that if Grossel's bill doesn't even exist? They just have to put a big tax.
Well, that's the thing is that townships don't do this stuff traditionally. It'd be through property taxes. You know, they would have to tax everybody in the township to pay for it.
Which could also be money sent to the city to attach to our...
So at the end of the day, is if you have to build and maintain this system and you're doing it now through local property taxes, now maybe you can't afford the North Shore anymore. And now maybe it looks more advantageous to let the city take it. I don't know. I mean, it depends on how the numbers fall. So if it doesn't get included, I don't know what that'll do to the project. If that'll be the death knell, or if it will have other...
Or forces them to reconsider joining up with the city.
But then that's going to set it back. So there's like... Not to kick a long dead horse, but Nate Matthews, before he was surreptitiously fired a year ago by the city council, was working on this stuff with the township and the city and the county. And I feel like there was some type of attempt to get some federal grants, but I think it probably would have had the most success if you saw this three LGU, you know, local government units collaborating on this thing, because everybody loves the word collaboration. We're going to talk about a collaborative later on in the episode. So I don't know. I mean, I really, if this is the plan and this is what can happen, I really do hope that, it can get included in the bonding bill. You know, they're going to do a multi-billion dollar bonding bill, $10 million more, you know, it's just a rounding error, right?
This has been the longest Grossel Watch ever.
Well, it's a complicated topic and we really even haven't even talked about Grossel all that much. So that's that. I'll say that I support it and I hope that they're able to get the funding.
You know, this is just like the old times, man, talking about county stuff.
Yeah, we kind of realized this as we were putting the agenda together or whatever, that yeah, this is all pretty much everything we're gonna talk about today is county. It wasn't really on purpose, but even the Grossel Watch was a county issue, you know, but that's just what we got. Got so much going on. And so that's what we're going to talk about. One thing that I wanted to talk about, this is hopefully I won't spend too much time on this. But you know that housing is an important issue for me. And like when Red Pines Estates, which was an apartment building over by Lukens, it had some structural integrity issues. And
that was huge.
It was like just before the 4th of July. It was like July 1.
Last year. Everybody out.
Yep. You got until the 7th. The community rallied and really supported these people that were losing their homes. There's a fund. I think that United Way, it was over $100,000. The generosity of the community was just wonderful. Amazing. It was really, really neat to see. And it was a really traumatic experience for a lot of these people. A lot of them were elderly, or some people were adults with cognitive disabilities and things like that. It was a traumatic, but we really minimized the amount of time that they were unhoused. They were at a hotel the whole time. And then in 6 weeks, we got everybody placed into housing. I've just heard some, I don't want to say grumbling or whatever, some concern that, like, well, since that happened, and just before that, if you recall, three buildings at Ridgeway were condemned and since demolished. So here we've had all of this loss of housing and nobody's doing anything, you know,
that's the, like, perception.
I think there's a little bit of that perception out there that nobody has learned any lessons and we're just as susceptible to this now as we were a year ago or 2 years ago. And kind of to some degree, that's true that we can't foresee anything, everything happening. And there could be a calamity that could knock a building out of being able to be housing for, you know, multifamily housing, an apartment building could have some catastrophic thing. And then what do we do as a community? Well, since the Red Pines incident, I guess I'll say, or condemnation, I don't know. A group has been meeting. We have come to call ourselves the Beltrami Housing Collaborative, and we've been meeting like monthly since then, primarily to put together, well, initially to assess how the community responded to this emergency and where's there room for improvement, you know? And then we started working on a kind of like a catastrophe plan, you know, because one of the problems that we had governmentally is that one apartment building being condemned does not meet the FEMA or federal definition of disaster, like a hurricane or a flood. This isn't a natural disaster. This isn't a something that happened, earthquake, you know, and same with the state. So when there's a disaster that meets the definition of disaster, the governor, the county board, the mayor, or whomever can declare a disaster and then seek funds. That wasn't bureaucratically an option with this because it slipped through the cracks. So knowing that, we started meeting and say, okay, we know that this doesn't meet the state or federal definition of a disaster, but what are we going to do? So that's what we've been working on. And we're really close to having a plan that we can announce or show that here's the flow chart of what we do. And it's imperfect because at the end of the day, you want people to be rehoused immediately, but we have, we don't have adequate housing in our community. So every time we lose a building, it adds stress to the system to try to absorb the people that are now unhoused, right?
Is the collaborative focused on like looking ahead and recommending?
Right. Yes. Yep.
Or putting together plans for new
housing? Yeah, putting together an action plan.
Not just reacting to a disaster.
Yeah, but no, great. Yeah, great question. I'm glad you said that because I was getting off. And I want to say, so primarily these are agencies at the city and county level. And then there's a lot of like NGOs, of nonprofits that are there also that work in the sphere of housing and homelessness or whatever. So we're not only are we putting together a disaster plan of what to do when something happens, but also we're talking about how we can help facilitate the creation of more housing in our community, which is desperately needed. So we may not have the funds, but our individual agencies or governments can write letters of support on applications or help provide testimony in St. Paul. Or other creative ways of advocating for more housing, and some of us are going to indeed be the vehicles of creating more housing. So it is a really neat group because it's again we don't report to the city, we don't report to the state, we don't report to the county, and so the action plan that we're going to come up with, it's not an official Beltrami County plan and with all of the legalities, good and negative that is implied with that. You know, it is really just a community, like rapid response plan, and that we can tweak with and learn, you know, and hopefully never need to implement, you know, but after this, then now we're like, well, okay, this seems to be a trend. We have a lot of aging infrastructure in our community. We need new housing. So today we had a great presentation from the Beltrami HRA that they're looking at building. They're hoping to start building some workforce housing, maybe even as early as this year. Huge. And there's some other plans in the docket. I will say that there is a very important planning. This is really exciting. The Bemidji has a new planning authority. The Joint Planning Board has broken up, and in now Northern Township has planning and zoning that it does, and Bemidji has its own. And at the next meeting, it's 5:30 on the 25th of April at City Hall. There are six or seven different cases, and with them public hearings on six or seven different public and private development plans in our community. So this is huge. I believe one might be White Earth and what their rebuild at the Ridgeway site. One is going to be the HRA, the Beltrami County HRA. They're known for doing the Conifer Estates. HRA stands for Housing and Redevelopment. So it's the Beltrami County Housing and Redevelopment Authority. And even though it has Beltrami in its name, it's not technically part of Beltrami County, the government. It's kind of a standalone. It's a quasi-governmental agency, I guess you'd say. So they build Conifer Estates, and now they're branching out into other development, right? So they're going to hopefully build this workforce housing. And there's others that I don't remember, but, or that I don't know of, but I know that there's six or seven different projects, and it's important. Oh, one of them is the development that was shot down by the Joint Planning Board for the elder living apartment building in Nymoor. So a bunch of really great projects. So I was going to try to keep this short, but I have a hard time doing that. Really encourage you to, if you have the time, go to the city website and find the agenda and whatever information might be along with it for the Bemidji Planning Commission meeting on April 25th. And so go to Bemidji, ci.bemidji.mn.us is the Bemidji website. So go there and try and find what information you can about how, when, and where to participate in that. Well, we know when and where. It's at City Hall. It's on the 25th at 5:30. A bunch of important cases are going through.
You know, I can't remember where it was, on the Pioneer or another article, and it was talking about private homeowners or owners of private property, their concern about opening up their property for housing, maybe even for Section 8 qualified housing. People didn't want to do it because the fear was that their property would take, or their buildings would take, such a beating from these low income families that they would, you know, their value of their property would just drop through the. I mean, how do you convince people that this is a sound financial decision to do this rather than fund a giant complex?
Right. I get a chuckle out of that because I hear that, and I'm a landlord myself. My business has three residential rental units, and we have had we've rented to college students and we've rented to non-college students. And I can tell you that both have the potential of being wonderful tenants and nightmare tenants. And so I don't understand that I think that is, it's an unfortunate, stereotype, you know, that I think is based in classism and maybe even with a touch of, I'll say xenophobia or whatever of, you know, people that aren't of your culture and not really trusting or understanding them, you know, but generally, nobody is a bigger risk than anybody else as a defined class, I don't think, you know. And one thing that is a positive that is coming through the city at some point, I don't know that it's been voted on yet, but I think that the city is going to approve a new class of rental permit for, like, I'll say myself, I live by myself in a 2-bedroom home. Right now, I don't think that there's a way that I can legally rent out to someone and have a rental permit and have them live in my home with me. But they're changing the laws so that you can do that. And so then you have, my first thing I thought of, well, aren't people doing that under the table right now anyways? And apparently some people that are or want to have been reaching out to the city saying, help me do this in a legal way, because then I suppose they can have rental insurance and have some protections, you know, some rights and responsibilities with that. So that's a good thing. And that'll really help. It'll help low income elderly people stay in their homes. It'll help everybody else find housing, you know, so I think that's a slam dunk. And there too, I just have to give the city kudos for really trying hard to find creative ways to increase housing, increase the housing of people with existing stock, I guess, you know, because we have short-term needs and we have long-term and medium-term needs. And so anything we can do right now to just kind of soften the blow of not having enough housing is really going to help out a lot of people. And then, and we can keep moving and building there. So Beltrami Housing Collaborative is doing a lot of good stuff, but it's kind of behind the scenes and it's kind of like not real exciting, you know?
Well, seeing how this is a county episode, you got any more county in you?
Yeah, I think we'll start at the end at the beginning. This is an old topic of the podcast. Listeners will know, and that's redistricting.
But this thing has been going around and around. I mean, it went to court. And
so
now it's come back. And
yeah, so 2022 in May, we finalized on, we being the Beltrami Board of Commissioners, and we finalized our map. And that year, 2022, from the county and city to the federal government and the state, everybody had to redo all of their district maps, right? So the city wards, county districts,
every
congressional districts,
right?
Every 10 years after the census that's done in 2020, the maps need to be finalized in 2022. And we made a map, and Jim Lukacek really hated it, because one of the unintended consequences, and now he just chuckled because he thinks that it was an intended consequence.
He was a commissioner at the time.
He was a county commissioner, and the map moved him out of the current district that he lived in and put his township into a different district. And he lost his mind. And it was a good map. I still maintain it was a good map, that it was the best way that we could ensure equal representation for pretty much everybody in the county. You know, looking back on this, so Jim got some of his friends together and they initiated a lawsuit against the county. And my opinion, and this is just an opinion, is not an allegation or whatever, is that the county's legal that we hired out of the county to represent us were lazy and did a really bad job. And Lukacek, I'll give him credit. He hired one of the best damn ambulance chasers in Minnesota. And if I wanted to with the county, I would have hired this guy. Yeah. So they did really well.
But they also found a judge that ruled in that favor as well.
Well, that's where I have some criticism for the counsel that the county retained to represent us. I think that what happened is that it was a case of the squeaky wheel getting the grease, and our wheel made no squeaks. That's my outside perspective. You know, a lot of this happened after I left office. But I'm just frustrated. And then the county didn't appeal. So I'm frustrated about that too.
So what was the ruling? Yeah.
So then the ruling comes out that the county has to go back and redraw the maps, but they can't.
The judge found that the maps that were created when you were in a commissioner were not appropriate or legal.
Yeah, see, I just disagree with that. No, what the judge said, what the judge said is that, yes, we met the letter of the law, but we could have done better. That is literally what he said. And I've said on this podcast before, it's like getting pulled over for doing 60 in a 60 and having the cop telling you, yeah, but you could have been driving 52. Is basically, because there is a, without getting way into it, there is a 10% threshold that all of the districts have to be within 10% of whatever 1/5 of the population is, which we complied with. I think we were at like 8% or something like that, 7.5% or 8%. I don't know.
So the judge wasn't arguing what you did was illegal, or
we could have done more better is basically what he said.
And under that, he said to do it again.
Yep. But not only did we have to do it again, and this is a gross oversimplification, but yes, basically that's how I understand it. Right. So not only do you have to do it over again, but the county commissioners can't do it, even though that's what the Constitution and state statute says, is that it's our job to do. So you guys can't do it. You have to appoint a citizen committee to do it. And so Jim and his buddies put forward 5 people, and the other 46,000 Beltrami County residents put forward 5 people. And the judge gave Jim and his buddies, two people to sit on the board, and gave the other 46,000 people, three people. That's some real, you know, representation there to make the new maps. And so they come up with the new maps, and it was this one map that Jim wanted, because this is like kind of some inside baseball or whatever, but the county staff gave us three maps and Jim hated all of them. And or three maps or five maps. I can't even remember anymore, but whatever. All the maps that we looked at initially, Jim didn't like any of them.
And I think it's what you're saying is important to remember is that the commissioners didn't come up with these maps.
Right.
It was the staff.
Right. Using census data and the GIS mapping system that we have.
And the guidelines and statutes that the state puts forth to do this.
So my understanding of the series of events, and hopefully I'm not too far off, but Jim hated the events, the maps. Jim insisted in a private call to our county administrator, who I will say I have complete confidence in and does a great job. You know, so just say that, demands that he make some other maps and gave him a couple of benchmarks. So then he and the auditor and the GIS department head come out with a few more maps, like two or three more maps. I don't really remember. And then Jim is like, yes, this one, this is the one that we should go with. So here's this oversized influence. And that's Jim was able to punch a bunch above his weight the whole time that he was in office. So you got to give him credit for just working the system to make.
He's scrappy.
Well, he's more of a bull, you know, or a goat, headbutting everything back and just pushing his way, you know. So he gets these maps. This is the one I like. Craig agrees with him. The rest of us stick to what we think is the best map. So I'll just say again, nobody listening here, I doubt, is looking at the map or maps. What we supported, what the majority of the county supported, was a map of the county board. I mean, the majority of the county board supported a map that made these tight districts that really had, it ensured we would always have a city representative. Because there was one ward that was only in the, or one district that was only made up of city wards. And then there was one district that had two city wards in it and Northern Township, Ward 3, Ward 2, Northern Township. And then the rest was all rural. So you had like Eccles Township and Lammers and that like south western corner of Beltrami County, Grant Valley was in there. And so that's like this kind of Bemidji suburbia, right? The suburbs, you know, are there. And then you had Frone Township, Turtle River Township, the city of Turtle River, Port Hope, and then all points east of there. So this very rural district. And then the district that Sumner represents, which is all of Red Lake and like the top half of the county, right? So you had super rural, mostly rural, suburban, urbanizing being the Ward 3 Northern Township and Ward 2, and then rural, which was Ward 4, 1, and 5. So a lot of people were, not a lot of people, but a couple of people, and I still have a buddy that will say this, that what we were doing was gerrymandering. And that really came from Jim, I think, using that language. It's hard for nonpartisan districts to gerrymander, because gerrymandering really is to give the preference or the advantage to one party over another. And what I was looking at was the like land use type, you know. So we ensured that we would always have it just meant that we're always going to have one urban person, two suburban people, and two rural people. You know, potentially you could have two city council or two city residents on the county board. So, which would be a way of saying like liberal. Plus, Red Lake always drives the northern one, so that's another liberal or slightly left of center district. So the way that what I wanted and the way that we left it it would really only, there would only ever be two left of center people, even though I'm left of center, and probably three right of center people representing the county, because that is kind of the makeup of who the county is. But there was one person in the 46,000 population that hated it, and that was Jim, because it moved him out of his district into another district. And so then he successfully sued, and then we had to put this new map together that they chose, which was the one that Jim had staff make at his orders. So now that's the one that they went with, and that one potentially could allow for four left of center people to control the county board, because it split up the city into three different commissioners' districts. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is that I feel that the original map we had, and you can argue percents, you can argue whatever you want to argue, at the end of the day, it was a fair map that made sure that everybody in Beltrami County would have proportionate representation.
So the board would look like the population of the county
that it represents. Yes. You're going to have, you know, you've got a high chance of having a farmer. You have a high chance of having someone from Red Lake. You have a high chance from someone from the city of Bemidji, and a high chance of someone that lives in Lake Country.
So the new map got released. Is it?
I don't know that it's even been finalized by the judge, but I have no reason to believe that it won't. Otherwise, there would.
Oh, I thought something came out that
it was finalized by the committee that was put together by the judge. The citizen committee came up with a map. And I think that the judge then has to.
So the judge approves it. The county board doesn't have anything.
No, it is completely removed.
Have you looked at that map yet? It is the same one that.
The one that Jim wanted.
And does it look like the county?
Well, potentially, but there's much more potential compared to the map that we had approved for things to kind of go awry. I think in a way that that they weren't thinking, those that opposed the original map, because what can happen now is conceivably we could have three Bemidji city residents, you know, city of Bemidji residents, who will tend to be further to the left of the population as a whole. And then we'll have the Red Lake representative. So we could have four people, like right now. And when I was on there, we had Craig and Jim, who were right of center, Tim and Reed left of center, and Anderson kind of occupying the middle. And I left, Joe Gould comes in, Jim Lukacek leaves, John Carlson comes in. And so that balance has been pretty much maintained. With this map, you could have, you know, three people from the city of Bemidji alone forming a block and just doing, you know, whatever they want, making huge decisions that have to do with Kellyer and Black Duck and Solway and stuff, you know, Debs. And they could be very like metrocentric, you know, like we accuse sometimes St. Paul of being and having policy that doesn't represent greater Minnesota.
I would think so, you as a DFLer would think this is a good thing.
Well, sure. I mean, it'd be great to have.
But it's not representing the county.
Not, yeah, it's just not a good map, you know, because what we want is everybody to be represented. And this has a potential that I'll say my map or our map. And again, we didn't make the map, staff did. But the map that we chose would ensure much more equal representation, I think. And I really stand by that, you know. And so, okay, because there, and I think that this is maybe partisanship run amok in a nonpartisan arena, but they're so against the map that we chose that they try to find something that's different because, you know, I'll say in broad strokes, we're lefties, they're not. So whatever we decide is lefty. So the other side has to do the exact opposite, because now that's going to be right of center, even though it's a more left-leaning map. Yeah. I'm glad that it's done, and the community, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the county is going to be split into fifths, And I mean, you can do some real manipulation to really do damage to certain communities.
Hey, and it's already 2024. You only got 6 more years and get right. to do
we'll
it again.
Go through it again, right? You know, whatever. But yeah, I hope that I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if Jim runs again, that'll be the best chance of throwing the Republicans out of representing that district. Because I don't think he can win.
I think it feels like the tide is changing against them. People are finally waking up. And especially if in the national spotlight, if Trump doesn't win, I think that's going to send a message. It's going to filter down to all these locals or maybe embolden them. But I think it's going to filter down and he can finally be rid of this psychosis that is plaguing
the country. The best way for that to happen is that the Democrats have to win by a considerable margin, because there's a very possible map right now where Biden would win with 270 votes even, and that's the threshold. So it'd be like 270 to 268. And that's so close that would then it'd be easy for there to be calls for a January 6th type response, shenanigans and storming and violence. I think that we were going to do an all county show, but I think one of the things that is on the side of Joe Biden, in spite of himself, I guess, I'm just so mad with his policy in Palestine right now. It just infuriates me. But with Florida and Montana and Arizona, and I think possibly even Pennsylvania, having statewide referenda on abortion. Especially Florida and Arizona, where these really severe restrictions are going into effect. I mean, that's going to turn people out to vote against these referenda. And while they're there, they're probably going to vote for the Democrats. So this is probably the best chance that we have to flip back Florida in a presidential
election.
Wait a
minute, is this the most important election ever?
Every election that you vote in is the most important election because the stakes keep ratcheting up. So yes, it is. It always is. And it's always true. You know, this is a profoundly important, profoundly. I mean, at the state level, we need to keep the trifecta, keep the DFL in control of the House. And they're going really hard, the GOP, to try to flip the House. We need to hold on to the House. We need to reelect Biden, as painful as it is for me to say that, because I want nothing more than to totally go after him about his policy and support of BB the Butcher and you know, in Israel. But it just, we have to support Biden. We just have to, you know. So we got to eat our broccoli or whatever. Didn't Obama said something like that? So we got to eat our peas or eat our broccoli. And the Broccoli Foundation of America or whatever, the trade association was kind of upset with him for that. But yeah, so we got to get out and vote. Everybody get out and vote. You there, get out and vote. So, you know, that's all we have in this very special Beltrami County centered podcast that I think only was 26 minutes. As always, the theme music is brought to us by the Jake Ballin motif. And thank you, Jake. This has been a good show. One of our shortest. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Email us at redoroundup@gmail.com. That's redoroundup@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Por qué? We love you.